This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa'a to all those who are sick and those who are ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our students who are writing the exams. They all pass and have be successful. And for those of who are working people, may Allah have mercy on us as well. Ameen. We continue with our series, The Heroes of Islam. And we spoke about three generals in the last couple of nights. We spoke about Musa ibn Nusayr and Tariq ibn Ziyad, the two generals who conquered the West, North Africa, and Spain and Portugal. And then we spoke yesterday about Muhammad ibn Qasim, the man who conquered Pakistan and went all the way into Kashmir and was on the verge of entering into China when he was called back. Today we will speak about the man who actually reached China. And there were two generals fighting on the Eastern Front, Muhammad ibn Qasim in Sindh, and then this man, Qutaybah ibn Muslim, rahimullah, and another general at the same time. All three of these men were operating at the same time, and they were continuously winning victory after victory, and the empire, the ummah, was expanding. He was born 669 and he passed away 715 or 716. Again, a very short life, only about 40 years that he lived. A very, very short life, and again a career cut short due to politics. So who is this man, and how, what did he do, and what was his achievements? He became the governor of Khorasan, and Khorasan is that region of Persia or Eastern Persia and modern day Afghanistan. So Persia or Iran and Afghanistan, they are neighbors. And Khorasan is this region that is part of Western Afghanistan and Eastern Iran. And he distinguished himself as a conqueror of Transoxiana. Transoxiana. Who knows where that is? Who knows where that is? For a prize. Afwan? Alright, it's an area, and that's why there's going to be a lot of maps in here, because, yes, that's that region. That region, the Oxus River, it's beyond that, and that's Uzbekistan, that area. And it's a region that we're not very familiar with, yet it's like a strong Muslim area. Imam Bukhari came from that land, and many great scholars came from that area. And how did Islam reach there? We'll talk about it today, inshallah. So, he was from a family, this Qutaybah ibn Muslim, born in Basra, family very closely aligned to the Umayyads, although he wasn't from a very powerful tribe, and therefore, as a young general or a young soldier, again, this man we can never escape from, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, and he was the governor of Basra, or he was actually the overall leader or governor of the eastern part of the Muslim Ummah. Everyone in the east, whether you were in Sindh or Khorasan or Makaran or in Persia, you basically reported to him, and he reported to the Khalifa. And he noticed Qutaybah at the age of 21 as a very competent soldier, and he gave him a small army to suppress a rebellion in the city of Ray in Iran, and he was very successful. And therefore, he pushed the Khalifa to appoint this young man as the governor of Khorasan. So Khorasan is the easternmost province of the Muslim Empire. Beyond Khorasan is enemy lands. So this was a border terrain. And we said that the Arabs reached this, the Muslims reached this boundary when in the time of Sayyidina Umar they conquered the Persian Empire. And the Persians themselves were not able to go beyond this region, because the land that went beyond the river, this was a very tough and difficult terrain, a very difficult land to overcome. So let's look at the map. Let's look at the map of what we're talking about. So if we look at the map here, we'll see Khorasan is really, the greater Khorasan is that red area. And the Muslims didn't conquer all of it. They basically went up until the river. And if you go further up, there we go. That's the river. And in fact, the word or the name Transoxiana means the land beyond the Oxus River. So beyond that river is this land. And in fact, even in Arabic, it's called Al-Bilad Wara Al-Nahr, the land beyond this river. Because this river, the Oxus River, or the Amudariya, as it's called by its people, across that river is a very wild and difficult land, and the people, they are tough and rough, and it's not easy to conquer it. And in modern days time, it's basically Uzbekistan. It's Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, this area, we've heard of these names, but we're not really familiar with it. So let's look at a modern day map of this area. Yeah. So we're talking about, really Uzbekistan is the land we're talking about. So you have Uzbekistan. The Muslims conquered basically Turkmenistan. So here to the south, or to the down, this region, the Muslims had basically conquered much of it. Uzbekistan is where it's a new frontier. To the south you have Tajikistan. And above Tajikistan you have a land called Kyrgyzstan. And then to the east you have China. So this is the last frontier before you get to China. The last states before you get to the Chinese Empire. And the fact that these lands were not controlled by Persia or the Romans or the Chinese tells you that these people were not easy to conquer. They didn't have an empire of their own. They were nomadic. Each city ruled itself. They had like warlords, but it was very difficult to conquer them. And going across the river was a dangerous thing to do. And Qutayba was going to go across the Amu Dariya, or the Oxus River. So this land lies between two rivers. This is the first river, Oxus River. And if you look at the names, across the river you have a very famous city. Samarkand, very famous city. And you have Bukhara on the other side. Who comes from Bukhara? Imam Bukhari. Right, so this is the land where he comes from. Uzbekistan, across the river. Towards the south you'd see, you have, on the mouth of the river, you also would have a city called Tirmidh. Imam Tirmidhi. Most of the hadith scholars came from this region. Great scholars came from this land when after it entered into Islam. So Uzbekistan lies between this river on the one side, and then there's another river to the north, the Sirdariya. There's two rivers. If you go to the next slide. Right? So this is the other end. So it lies between two rivers. So if you want a picture, the campaign that Qutayba had, you have two rivers running parallel to one another. To the south you have one kingdom, the Tajiki kingdom. In the center you have another strong kingdom, which is Bukhara, and this land of Bukhara. And then to the north you have another kingdom called Khawarizm. A very famous mathematician comes from this area. So this is the three regions that he would have to conquer. And he would cross this river, and let's see how he fared. So he was the governor, and he crossed his first job. So the Muslims had secured, if you look there once again, we can see there's Tirmidh. If the cursor can come up again. Right, up, there we go. That's Tirmidh, and that's the crossing over the river. That's the city on the river. If you hold that city, you can cross from back and forth. And the Muslims were holding it, but not very, very well. Tirmidh and Balkh, and that area around that region was very unstable. Every time the Muslims had to recapture it after the people would rebel, and now that Qutayba was the governor of this region, he would have to see to it that that region became subdued. So his first mission was to subdue this area, Tirmidh and Balkh, this area of, as you see there, that's the old name, Tukharistan, which is Tajikistan today. Right? So we see this area here to the south of the river, this is what he had to do. And he went in with a small garrison of men, and he was able to negotiate, and he preferred using peaceful treaties, and he knew that the people there were at war with one another, so he would side with one ally and fight against the others. And not long after that, within a year or so, he was able to recapture the city of Balkh and Tirmidh, and he therefore secured the river. That's the main thing, being able to cross the river and come back. He then moved, and the real area of concern was the central region, Sogdia. Where? Sogdia. This is where Bukhara is and Samarkand. Basically, it's the heart of Uzbekistan. This area the Muslims had never really conquered. Up until this point, the Muslims had never conquered that area. And at that time, the people of that area were having a bad civil war. They basically took over the capital. Samarkand was being ruled by an outside leader. And no matter how many times though Qutayba tried to conquer this area, the people stood together against him. And he was forced back across the river a few times. And Hajjaj was furious with him. And each time they would have a new strategy of how they were going to conquer this area. In 709, basically after 3 years of trying, Qutayba did something that he didn't do before. The normal strategy is, you conquer the lands around the difficult city, and then you slowly, progressively get closer to the more stronger city. Samarkand is the strong city, and Bukhara, these are the two strong cities. He retreated across the river on the south, and then he went back over the river in the north, not where they would expect him to cross. And he attacked Bukhara directly. The people there were not prepared, and he was able to take control of Bukhara without too much bloodshed. And he did this with a surprise attack. Now, the capital, Samarkand, this is the strong city, they were forced into a peace treaty with him. And he preferred to negotiate and use peaceful means with them. But while he was there, once again, that southern region of Tajikistan, they rebelled. So as his army moves to the north, the south rebels. And his brother has to come with another 12,000 men to once again put that area at peace. So now he's got an army in the south, and he's got army in the center. And Samarkand is at peaceful terms with Samarkand. When the region to the north, Khawarizm, north again of this area, that's another kingdom, they asked him for help. The king of Khawarizm, his brother was trying to overthrow him. And he asked Qutayba, send your army, support us, and we will pay allegiance to the Khalifa, and we'll be an ally of the Khalifa. And he took his army and he marched all across the length of Uzbekistan, got to Khawarizm, and he managed to defeat the enemy and return Khawarizm to its king. But obviously once he left Samarkand, they rebelled once again. Right, so his army, and his army was now, they were fed up. They said, this land can't be conquered. We have to go back. And he was on his way, marching back, when he decided, let us do something really crazy, and let's go straight to Samarkand, let's attack the city head on like we did at Bukhara, and see what our men are made of. And his exhausted army, eventually they agreed, and he attacked the heart of this area, and he besieged the city. And he couldn't enter the city, it's a strong city, and he was besieging it with his troops. At the same time, an enemy came from the other side to attack him. So now this is a dangerous situation. Imagine you are besieging a city and another army is on the way to surround you. And you're trapped in the middle. So how does he get out of the situation? He said, the only way we're going to survive this is we need to destroy that army, the enemy army, before they get to us. So he planned an ambush. And this army, much bigger army, came through a valley. And he was able to surprise them. And he attacked them from multiple sides. While at the same time holding Samarkand, besieging it, he was able to defeat this enemy. And when that enemy was finally defeated, the people of Samarkand realized that they're not going to get out of this. And they peacefully surrendered the city. And he gave them very fair terms. They expected, after breaking a treaty, remember they had a peace treaty with him, when he left to the north, they said, we will be at peace with you. But when he left, they rebelled. So, at that time, what you did, if an enemy broke the treaty, you punished them severely. You basically annihilated the army. All the soldiers you took out and either made them slaves or you executed them. He didn't do this. He allowed them to remain in their city, and he just took a tax from them. And this made him a legend in the area of Uzbekistan. And the people then, they didn't yet embrace Islam, but he allowed them to join his army. And he said, my mission isn't just to stop here. My plan is to go beyond this area, all the way into China. And he now controlled basically his army in the north and in the south. He took that army, he went back to Khawarizm, because they rebelled against him, and he recaptured that land. So now he controls this whole area between the two rivers. Now there's the next frontier, the last step before you get to China. Before you get to China, you need to cross the second river, we said. We need to cross the second river. And he now basically split his army in two. The king of the capital, who knows the capital of Uzbekistan? Yes. Tashkent, yes. Inshallah, you take how many prizes? You've been to the region. You know the area very well. Know your geography very well. So the king of Tashkent, he was the guy that sent the army to destroy Qutayba while he was besieging Samarkand. So that city had to be taken. And this is now beyond the next river. So he sent his army to Tashkent, and he sent the other army of his towards the land of China. And there he fought on the two fronts. He captured Tashkent, and he fought with the Chinese and basically controlled what they call the Fergana Valley. This is the last region before you get to China. If we can go back to the slides of the countries, if we can go back to the maps quickly. A little bit more back. Yeah. So, yeah, let's look at it. So he conquered Tajikistan to the south. Then he moved up to Sogdia, where Samarkand, he conquered that area, and then moved up to Khawarizm, which is the north, right? If you go all the way to the up, top left, you'll see Khawarizm all the way there. So he conquered this region, and now he held this land. Then he had to deal with the king of Tashkent. If you look at there, if you move to the right, Shash, right? That is Tashkent. And then you had the Farghana Valley down, that leads to China. So he sent his armies, one to Tashkent and one into that valley. And he coordinated both armies at the same time. So he managed to take Tashkent, and he met the Chinese, because the Chinese were controlling that region, and he managed to defeat them in that region and push the boundary now up until China. And it's mentioned in history that the Muslim envoy to China, because the Muslims didn't really want to enter into a war with China, they wanted to have a peace treaty with the Chinese. But the Chinese were like, who are you people? China has been here for thousands of years. We rule this region and we're not afraid. So the negotiator said, you should be afraid, because you are standing in front of an army whose front line, its front soldiers are here in China, and the last of its soldiers are waiting in Portugal. Right, so this is how big our army is, and this basically facilitated the peace treaty with China. So this whole region was conquered by this man Qutaybah ibn Muslim. And we said, besides the conquest, winning land is easy, but what they were able to do is, this region till today is 80 to 90% Muslim, even through communism. Islam was banned for a long period of time. This area was all under communist Russian rule. And it was then, of course, now that it's open, Islam has still survived and remained. And we know that many of the great scholars, like Imam Bukhari, Imam Nasa'i, Imam Tirmidhi, the scholars of the Sunnah came from this region. Not long after this, 50 years or so, that Muslims, that were second generation Muslims, imagine Imam Bukhari's like father or his grandfather was a non-Muslim, and yet he's like of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam. When they saw Islam, they saw the truth of it, they embraced it wholeheartedly, and they were elevated through that. So the next step for him, Qutaybah, was to actually go into China. And he reached the westernmost city of China. He actually entered China when all of a sudden the same thing that happened to Muslim, to Muhammad ibn Qasim and Musa ibn Nusayr, their leader Hajjaj passed away and the Khalifa passed away. And because he was a close ally with Hajjaj, all the governors who were supporting Hajjaj were basically taken out. So the new Khalifa, they took away his position as the governor of Khurasan. And he took his army, he had to take his family even out of the Muslim lands and settle in Tashkent. So that's the last city, the most eastern city of the Muslim Ummah to keep away from the Khalifa. Yet the Khalifa paid his own soldiers and they killed him and his family. Another great general, a great leader, and this is all at the same time. Three of the greatest generals in the Muslim Ummah within that same year or two were all executed for crimes they didn't really do after a service they did for the Ummah. But the legacy remains in, and we conclude with those generals, that the legacy of Spain and Sindh and Transoxonia, these areas would remain Islamic areas. And from there, the culture and the heritage, and what Muslims did that other governments didn't do, they not only exported their culture and their religion, they imported their technology as well. It's mentioned during the battle with the Chinese, the Muslims in this area fighting the Chinese, that they captured a group of people who knew how to make paper. And those people were taken to Damascus, and you'll find 20, 30 years after this, books are starting to be written by the Muslims, because they learned the technology of paper. That's why before this you won't find many books. But after this expedition to China, knowledge, technology would expand, and the Muslims would incorporate that into Islamic thought and society, and Islam would become the center of the world's knowledge and thinking. This is the efforts made by the Mujahideen. So we continue with our quiz tonight. We first answer the question. Are there any questions? No questions? Is there a question? No. So we answer the questions of last night. Prophet Salih was sent to which people? To Thamud. They were sent to the people of Thamud. Is this the quiz? Oh, this is tonight. So everyone gets that right. Everybody gets that right. Okay, so everybody gets that question right. Prophet Salih was sent to Thamud. Everyone, that's a free answer. Right. Question number two. The angels of the grave, what are their names? Raqib and Atid, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Jibreel and Mika'il, or Munkar and Nakir. What are the angels of the grave called? And then Ibrahim's father, and it was mentioned, I think, in the Quran today with the recitation. What is the name of Ibrahim's father? Was his father Ishaq, or Azar, or Ismail, or Uzair? Who was Ibrahim's father? And now, alhamdulillah, we have our weekly prize giving for the week's quiz that we had now. And we showed the log last week. Yesterday we showed the log. And no change there, obviously. We didn't have a quiz yesterday. So the top two, Fadla and Rukhaya, we will, inshallah, you get, both of you get prizes. Are they both here? Yes? Can you just take the prize up to the sisters, please? It's a mug. A Buka Treats mug. And then we said we'd like to give the rest of you walis that make dua. You don't answer questions, you just make dua and things come right for you. A random draw for everyone to see who, inshallah, will get the prize. If you enter, you still get the chance. Let's see. And the winner is Ismail. MashaAllah, Ismail, definitely. We know he makes the most dua for these quizzes. Ismail, you won.
Yeah.
So we can have...
Inshallah, we give
Ismail
his prize.
Congratulations, Ismail. And then inshallah, from tomorrow, we have the quizzes. Please fill out the cards. And we have a new draw next week. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Wa salam wa salim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.